Okay, this is Victor Cunicelli of the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. Today's date is March 23rd, 2010. The time is approximately noon. I'm accompanied by Tom Borgers of the FCIC and Miss Mary McDowell. We are at the offices of Paul Weiss for the interview of Miss McDowell. This interview will be recorded with the consent of Miss McDowell, and if I could ask you to, on the record, just state that you give me your consent?
Yes, I give my consent.
Okay. Will everyone please state your full name and affiliation for the record?
Mark Finucane, Paul Weiss.
Jim Garner, City Legal.
April Park, City Financial Legal.
Joyce Wong, Paul Weiss.
Mary McDowell, City Financial, CEO and President, and that's MaryMcDowell.
Okay, and I think I neglected you last time, Mr. Borgers.
Tom Borgers.
Okay. In the way of background, the FCIC was established by statute and signed into law by the President. It's bipartisan and consists of 10 commissioners. It is charged with examining the causes of the financial crisis and collapse or near collapse of major domestic financial institutions. The Commission is charged with composing a report of findings to the President and Congress by 15 December 2010. The Commission may compel attendance and testimony of witnesses and production of records. I can provide a copy of the statute by which the Commission was formed, if you so desire. I brought one today. We could copy it if you're interested. Please be advised that the FCIC is an agency of the United States, and FCIC staff are federal employees under the aegis of 18 United States Code Section 1001 concerning false statements. False statements can be problematic. Okay, with that said, and you know what, Mr. Borgers reminded me last time before I closed out that anything that comes before the commission, we ask for confidentiality on that, that you're not... express opinions in blogs or, you know, give interviews about...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, great. I'll tell you what, if you could, what I'd like you to start with is just a bio, if you want to start with educational experience,
okay,
and then when you came into City and your progression through City.
Okay. I graduated from Texas A&M University in College Station, Texas, 1979 with a Bachelor of Business Administration, summa cum laude. I went on for about 10 and a half years with Ernst & Young, Ernst & Winnie, then Ernst & Young. After that, I went to what's now City Assurance. At the time, it was American Health and Life, Voyager, and one of the property companies that's now called Triton. So that's when I actually first left public accounting, and since that's a city company, I'd say that's when I first came into the city family. So I was there for about 5 years, primarily as chief financial officer of that company. I left very briefly for about a year to a company called Pencor Financial. I was based in Raleigh, North Carolina, and decided I missed the business, and I moved actually up to Baltimore, Maryland. At that time, I was the head of financial planning for City Financial, and that was 97, mid-97 until about 2000. In the latter part of 2000, we bought the Associates, and at that time, there was a need for someone to move down to Dallas and help integrate and help some of the various businesses really get the strategy and plans together. So I moved down to Dallas and spent about, it was from January 2001 till about December 2003 as chief financial officer of City Financial Mortgage. Then starting end of 2003, first part of 2004, I became the president and CEO of City Financial Auto, so auto finance company within City. And so I spent from 2004 until mid-06 there, also based in Dallas or Irving. And about mid-06, then I was asked to return to City Financial in Baltimore, and I spent approximately a year as chief operating officer at City Financial in Baltimore. And the president and CEO retired, and in April of 07, I became the CEO. He stayed on as chairman until the end of 07, first part of 08. So since that time, 07 until the present time, I've been the CEO and president of City Financial.
Okay. Okay, super. What I'd like to do is, kind of like with the bio, I'd like to open it up to you and just kind of give you a direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the direction I'm looking for is for you to just give me kind of the corporate architecture, what the business plan of City Financial is, and how it's arranged and how it's run.
Okay. The City Financial itself is a branch-based network. It's community-based branches that are part, again, of the City Financial Credit Company. When you talk about the corporate architecture, I just want to make sure I understand. So you're saying from a legal entity basis, or just who do I report into, or?
Both, actually, yeah. Like how the branch network is arranged, and also mm-hmm. how you plug into Citigroup. That's great.
Okay. So the branch network itself is about 2,200 branches currently. About 1,900 of those are in the United States. And as you may be aware, we generally, on average, have about 3 or 4 employees in each of those branches. It's a great business model. We operate in the community. We lend within that community. And, of course, all of the people within those branches have really a standard box that they operate in. They can't really approve things on their own. So it's a great model to get out to people in the community. So when you look at City Financial and how it relates to City, we are owned through, I think, three different companies and report up into Citigroup. But my current boss is Mike Corbat, who runs City Holdings. And so I report into the holding structure. During 2004 to 2008, we were part of there was a global consumer group that we reported into. And again, that rolls up into Citi. So we're a subsidiary of Citi, and again, provide lending and other products to really mid-America.
Okay. Your main products, if you mm-hmm. could just run down your product line.
Okay. We have really three main products, and I would describe those as a personal installment loan, and also we've got mortgage lending, both first and second mortgages, all refinance. We don't do any purchase money. We don't do loans through brokers. Basically, the people come into the branches to make an application or over the phone. So it's very much, again, community-based. And our third product, I'd say, is insurance on those two lending products.
Okay. And I think, well, percentages of business from those lines?
On a ending net receivable type basis, we're slightly more personal loans than mortgage loans. On a unit basis, there are many, many more personal loans than mortgage loans. So it's, again, almost 50-50, 55-45 approximately on an ending net receivable. But the average personal installment loan is closer to $6,000, whereas the average mortgage loan is a little over $50,000.
Okay. Could you discuss your underwriting philosophy at City Financial?
On both products, or?
No, real estate.
Real estate, okay.
Yeah.
So if we look at the real estate philosophy on our mortgage loans, we really want to make sure that we're giving customers a loan that makes sense for them, that they have the ability to pay. And so as we look at the underwriting criteria, we look primarily at FICO and LTV, loan-to-value of the property to the loan, and, again, the ability to pay for someone to handle those payments of that financial instrument or the loan itself. That's primarily what we look at, but again, if there's and the people in the branches, our branch staff will take applications. They'll make sure that they verify income. We don't do any no doc, no income verification. We don't do any interest only. They're very, I'll call it very vanilla type loans, up to 30 years. And primarily fixed rate, although for a time we did do some variable rates, but they weren't the teaser type of loans. So, again, our philosophy is, I'd say, is pretty simple. Make sure, you know, people have an ability to pay FICO, LTV, and a good standard product.
and you're not contracting out underwriting, and you're not contracting out a lot of the stuff. This is tenured employees who are meeting face-to-face with...
Tenured employees in the branches who gather the data, pull the data in, but they are supported by a home office, primarily that's based in Baltimore, Maryland. And any exceptions, although they're very rare, would have to go through the group in Baltimore. Our risk department really monitors over time what's happening with the loans themselves, what the activity on it is, and they'll make suggestions over time to try and ensure that, again, we've got a good product.
You say that risk monitors loans. You mean individually monitors those loans over time?
Well, generally it's either by vintage or in total portfolio. So they'll look at a vintage, for example, something that was written in January of 08. They'll follow through time what's happened to that. And they'll look at really changes in the portfolio or trends in the portfolio or trends, you know, external to the portfolio, like unemployment rates or things that are happening external. So it's more of a not necessarily individual loans, but more of a broad base.
Okay. Ms. Manning was in here, I guess, mm-hmm. previous to yourself, and we talked about the relevant period, 04 to 08. Mm-hmm. What have you seen, what changes in underwriting over that time or in performance over that time have you seen with respect to City Financial?
And I'll just say here, as I did before, just to make clear, obviously Ms. McDowell is here speaking from her own recollection of these things. She doesn't have any documents before her. We've provided you with written documentation with various facts and figures, and Ms. McDowell did the best she can with the information she's got in her head.
Fantastic.
Okay. Can you repeat the question?
Sure. I was looking for trends between 04
okay,
and 08 of underwriting standards, loan performance.
Okay. So if we look in general at 04, 05, 06, we were in a period, we had some growth. I would say it wasn't a huge amount of growth, but we were growing in terms of our real estate product. We started probably sometime toward the end of 07, early 08, getting a little bit concerned with the market itself. When you kind of look back, I'd say we started seeing some of the lenders who had offered the interest-only, no-doc type loans faltering, and you know, we felt that was, you know, something we needed to monitor. But then we started seeing some of the lenders that had offered 228s or 327s. So we started looking at our portfolio. We started tightening FICO LTV standards, probably a little bit first on the seconds because, you know, those have, since they are behind a first in terms of just the collateral itself. So we started tightening first there. Then we started tightening a little bit more on the first mortgages during 08. Primarily, we used to have almost a total country grid that we looked at a FICO LTV, and we began more state-by-state monitoring that. So we did start seeing changes from, I'd say it probably in the data itself wasn't until sometime in 07 and then more aggressively in 08 in our data.
Okay. And I guess at the beginning of that period, say in 04, what would your 90-plus default rate roughly have been?
Our 90-plus default rate on 04, I'd have to look at the data to see.
Yeah, if you want to glance at something, sure.
In, say, the time period again?
In 04.
04 on here. Starts with 05.
05's fine.
Okay, starts with 05. If I look at the 30 pluses, I've got it split in terms of FICO greater than 660 and then FICO 620 to 660. Okay. So greater than 660, 30 plus with foreclosures in process or FIP was 228. FICO 620 to 659 was 331.
Internally, would you make a distinction? Would they both be subprime products? I mean, you're largely a subprime lender.
Well, it depends, again, on what your definition of subprime is. I didn't mention, by the way, the less than 620 is 665. So depending on how you define subprime, I mean, various people define it different ways. You know, our business, because it is primarily below 660, which is one of the ways some people define it, I think you could safely say we are primarily a subprime lender in terms of the customer itself. And again, I think there's some confusion sometimes on subprime because people confuse that sometimes with different types of loans, again, like the interest only, and call those subprime. So I'm speaking specifically on our type of customer because our products were very, as I said, vanilla in nature.
Okay. To be more specific, I guess what I'm thinking is you have two buckets there.
Mm-hmm.
How would you internally refer to those two buckets of FICO scores?
We generally refer to them by the FICO buckets when we look at the customers.
We do.
I mean, we'll look at the various customers there because you do expect differences in terms of their performance over time.
Okay. Right, with good reason, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's performance in 04. I'm sorry.
05,
because right.
It starts in January 05.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you gave him 30 plus. I think the question was 90.
It was 90 plus. Okay, 90 plus is 144, 209, and 399.
Okay.
The difference being, of course, just the 30 to 59 days past due.
And off the top of your head, without having to reference anything, during that period, say that's 05, 06, 07, 08, did you see a degradation of performance? Did you see increasing delinquency rates?
05, say 04, 05, 06 was pretty similar over time. And maybe, I think it had gone up some in that time frame, but nothing that you would count as really significant. And we started probably toward the end of 07 and it's really in 08 seeing the degradation. And I'd have to say it was more when you looked at what was happening in the economy, the unemployment rate started going up in 08. And that, you know, our customers, since we look at in their ability to pay, again, if they start losing their job, it's an issue. But, you did start seeing an increase in 07, 08.
Okay. I guess some of the internal documents that I'm looking at, it looked like it went from kind of a historical performance of about 1% to about 3% now, maybe, or approaching 3%, 90-plus default.
Can I refer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Certainly.
Let me just take a quick peek, because that's in 2008, which is the end of the time frame. 90 plus, again, these are spreads, so 232 on the greater than 660, 362 on the 620 to 659, and 415 on the less than 620. So again, as I said, you did see degradation.
This is, the numbers you're giving in here are just the first mortgages, and obviously you'd have to...
Correct. So you'd have to add in the seconds. And
Okay. Which, all told, it seems that City Financial is weathering the crisis fairly well. Are you happy with your performance in the period?
I mean, we do think we're weathering the crisis well, and we think it goes back to our model, again, which is we're community-based. We've got people that are making the loans that are sitting right across or on the phone with that particular customer. They're verifying income. You know, they've got the support of the home office there. And, you know, so the types of loans, we do feel we've really weathered it pretty well. And while I wish that we didn't see that increase in delinquencies, I think that you know, given the economy and the economic situation, that it is a good result.
You ticked off a couple of reasons why, sitting directly across from your customer, the face-to-face relationship.
Right.
The FICO, do you have an emphasis on creditworthiness and whatnot?
Well, again, we've got the benefit of a lot of risk data over time that says that different FICO scores react in different ways, but you also, again, want to make sure the value of the property is there, and you also, again, want to make sure people have an ability to pay that mortgage. And so all three of those, and while there's many other factors, I mean, I think those three, you know, help in you know, that effort.
The what percentage of your loans, in rough terms, are given to existing customers or clients?
Well, again, when you look at our model, we've got the personal loan, installment loan, and some of those customers then become
refinance.
Yeah, they become mortgage lendees, and you know, off the top of my head, it's probably 80-85% or had mortgages prior, or mortgages or loans prior with us.
So it's not a bunch of cold calling customers that you have no relationship with. The vast majority of your real estate loans are to existing customer base.
In general, the way we market to new and present borrowers, we send out a mail. And generally, when that mail comes back in, I mean, we generally have an offer for a personal installment loan. And then as you take an application, sometimes you determine that there is a need for a refinance loan, or they may want that rather than the personal installment loan. So again, what we try and do is gauge what it is that the borrower needs and wants. So they may come through as initially a personal installment loan that then, again, they've got a need to either reduce their payment or something to get to the mortgage loan, or they may can't come in initially.
Okay. And I brought something up in the previous interview, and I think it was I think it was a mistake on my part. I think I was most likely looking at something that referred to City Financial Mortgage, but I just wanted to throw it past you. I thought I saw something that said that City Financial for a short period of time offered 228s. Was that ever a product offering?
Never, to my knowledge.
Okay. It's I tried with City Financial Mortgage Corporation and City Financial being separate entities to always be aware in my mind of which one I was dealing with, so I must have mistaken.
The City Financial Branch Network 04 to 08, no, again, very fixed rate, standard loans, fixed and variable.
It seemed inconsistent with your business model, and that's I just wanted to be 100% sure. All right, thank you. Tom, you have anything?
And I have to say also to you, being the head of your organization, that I'm very impressed with your record. And that's my personal view. I guess I can't say it on behalf of the committee. But you have such a terrific, in this crisis, you know, that 3% less on your book. It's you have a business model that really works. And your figures and knowing your customer, and it's really a pleasure to have you here today and reach out to you. I just wanted to ask you, how often do you meet with your counterparts at City Mortgage or at Citigroup to discuss, especially in not last year, but during
04 to 08?
Yeah. How often do you speak to your counterparts?
You know, generally it's just if you had some sort of a monthly or quarterly meeting with my bosses at the time, where they might have someone from City Mortgage there, or they might have us there. So we generally did not talk about trends or what we were seeing in terms of our customers. I mean, really, I know that the risk community may have had that data, but from a business perspective, I mean, we were more focused on our customers and servicing our customers. So, there would have been some discussions just in the normal monthly meetings or quarterly meetings that were held.
Now, I think you did cover it a great deal, but if you had to pick the top three things of the reason for your success, what would they be?
Well, I think, again, just looking at the way we do business, our branch network, the fact that we're in the communities, I think is a big plus, and we sit face-to-face with our customers. I think, you know, the fact that we have high standards that, you know, we require people to comply with, so we've got a lot big compliance culture, a big internal control culture. And I think, you know, again, the loans fit our customers. So, you know, those three things, I think, contributed a lot to our results. And I think if you looked at various different types of products, there may be variations on that. But clearly, I think our community-based model and the fact that we've got a strong control culture definitely help.
One question on your community-based model. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about the CRA involvement with your entity?
First of all, City Financial isn't subject to CRA because we don't have deposits, so we
right.
don't accept deposits. But City Bank, as one of our affiliate companies,
right.
does. And I know that our loans count toward their CRA results or the loans that they need to do, but I'm really not involved in, you know, which accounts count and which ones don't, or even trying to target those. I mean, it's purely, we do our business model, again, to best suit the customer and the strategy of our company.
So there was no real a real push from Citibank to ask you to boost up your lending because of the CRA goals or whatever across the country?
No, I to my recollection, no one ever asked
okay.
me to do that.
From an internal standpoint, I noticed going through a document review of some City Financial,
mm-hmm.
I guess, statistical analysis. Sometimes it seems City Financial compares itself to other competitors, outside competitors. Sometimes it seems to compare itself to other, I guess, silos within City, like
mm-hmm.
City Mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
How much, you know, whom do you consider your peers, your peer group of associated lenders that you measure yourself against?
Well, in that time period, 2004 to 2008, if you're asking me about peer lenders, I would probably have mentioned people like Wells Fargo Financial, or American General, or Household Finance, HSBC, because they were more of a community-based model. And so when we compared ourselves to our peers, because the origination methods were, you know, again, in the community, again, I can't speak to how similar they were because I'm not privy to how they actually originated, but the model itself was in the community, although, again, variations on that from company to company. When you look internally, it would be a pure product comparison to say, how's our product holding up against something else? And it's just more to gain some knowledge on how to view the results, good, bad, indifferent, should we change something.
Okay. I'm good.
I know this is too quick. over the last several years, have you learned anything from the crisis that could help your organization for the future?
You know, I think as we're looking forward, we've really learned the value of that control and the value of you know, trying to make sure that you're on top of your products, as I mentioned, to change like we did in 07 and or toward the end of 07 and during 08, the FICO LTV. So, you know, I think what we've learned is just, again, to be cautious, and we've also learned that the model works. So, you know, we really, to us, you know, the fact that we originate and service in the branches, you know, we learned that it works. And so we like the model, and we like to continue it.
Okay.
All right, if I could just remind you that we've asked you to keep what happens here and what's asked here confidential.
Okay.
The time is, 12:20?
Well, one other final thing.
Okay.
You know, is there anything you would like to say to the commission that, you know, we've asked you a lot of questions? What would you like to say, you know, in either as your own personal view, your bank's view, or not bank, your company's view?
I think it's a difficult task that you have, and you know, I just appreciate being able to talk about my company. So I appreciate the opportunity to talk about City Financial and what a great company I think that it is, and good luck with your future.
Well, thank you so much,
okay.
And we'll need it. Thank
right.
you.